Maybe see.
Oh, the Bills prediction. You don't know. We don't want to bring the service down all the way here. We don't want to bring the service down. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, maybe we'll throw that in there. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Ephesians 5. Of course, I was right on the money last week. You know, I predicted they'd win in overtime. I mean, y'all have no faith for that team, you know? This is a faith church. Praise God. Oh, Ephesians 5. Well, while you're turning, since Carol had to unfortunately bring that to my attention, I believe that they will lose again today. But they won last week. But I do believe they're going to lose. I hope they don't. But that's my prediction. So no faith for the Bills. Amen? Let's hope I'm wrong. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Praise God. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what the word can do in our lives, Father. You're so good to us. Father, there's so many different people here with different needs and different things going on in their life. And Father, there's people that maybe I just met today or maybe just met, haven't even known more than a month. Or there's people that I know for years, Father. I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know what everybody's facing. I don't know questions that everybody have. I don't know what things are troubling people, but you do. And Father, you have a way because you're God. I can't understand it in my mind, but you're God. That you can hit a bullseye at every single person's heart here today. So, Father, speak through me. Lord, may I speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, they don't need to hear my opinions or my philosophies or what I think is right. They need to hear from you. And so, Father, touch people's hearts this morning. And Lord, may they recognize when that happens, that's supernatural. Father, that's you showing them that you're real and that you love them and that you have such a good plan for their life. And Father, when it happens, it'll be like, wow, how did he know to say that? Well, I didn't know to say that, but you knew to say it, Father. We love you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, speaking on that about the Lord speaking to people's hearts, last night in Olean, those of you that don't know, I pastored another church on Saturday nights in Olean that we started a year ago. This church started actually a year ago. And at the end of service, man, the Lord, it was a real light crowd last night, but at the end of service, the Lord dropped something in my heart about somebody there at the service, and I just asked them to come forward, and it was something about happened in their childhood, and I don't know this person personally from anybody, but God does, and it was something that had been troubling them that somebody did to them when they were younger, and the Lord, I said that to them. I said, the Lord just showed me in my spirit that you've been troubled by what somebody did to you when you're younger, and he wants you to be free of that. And she just started weeping. It was so sweet. God just loves her. And so be aware of those things today, that when God speaks to you, I'm not doing my research on you to try to find out what you're going through. God is just so good. He loves you and wants to speak to you. And when we gather for church service, it ought to be supernatural. Now, maybe this isn't very spectacular, you know, coming to a little country church in South Dayton. That's not very spectacular. And there's not a big worship team yet. And there's not a lot of fireworks going on. But when God speaks something that pertains to your life, that hits the bullseye of your heart, that there's no way I could have known about, that's God trying to get across to you that he loves you, that he cares about you, and that he has a plan for your life. So just buckle up your spiritual seatbelts and get ready, because it's going to happen this morning. Amen? Well, Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 1 is where we're going to start today. I just don't feel released. I don't really need these notes here today. The Lord changed up everything on me. I don't really feel released to go forward from last week yet. Last week, of course, we talked about the fact that it changes everything when you recognize what the Bible says about you in a trial, doesn't it? That if you'll do things God's way, you can't be overcome, that you can't lose, that defeat's not in the Christian's vocabulary. Now, I know a lot of Christians are living in defeat, but that doesn't mean that's what God's plan was for everybody. And God's plan for everybody's victory in every situation. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says that we overcome the world if we're born of God, right? Romans 8:37 says that we're more than conquerors. We're always supposed to be victorious in everything. And remember when Jesus went out into that test in the wilderness to be tested of the devil, a 40-day trial? You know, a lot of times people will have trials less than that or more than that. But Jesus had a 40-day trial in the desert. And when he went into that trial, we brought this out last week, he wasn't going out to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil to try to prove that he was greater than the enemy. It wasn't, the victory wasn't in the balance. Like, you know, today with the Bills and the Dolphins, the victory's in the, now I don't think the victory's in the balance. You still might think they have a chance, but the victory's, it's hanging in the balance. We don't know, right? But with Jesus, he wasn't going out there wondering, man, I wonder if I'm going to come out of this thing the victor. I wonder if I'm going to come out of this thing the champ. No, he went out there not to prove it or to try to figure it out, but he went out there to demonstrate the already victory, the already seemingly victory that was at hand. And that's the way it is with a Christian. A lot of people go into tested trials wondering, am I going to make it? The thoughts that come in your head, of course, when it's a financial thing, they go to the worst possible scenario. A physical thing comes, worst possible scenario. Things happen in relationships, worst possible scenario comes in our mind. And we start to wonder, am I going to make it? See, that's wrong thinking. See, when you see what that the Word says, you're always victorious, that you're always triumphant, that you're always the winner, that changes everything when the trial shows up. That no matter how hot it is, no matter how much pressure it is, no matter how tough it is, you know you come out the victor. That changes everything. It keeps you in the realm of faith. And so we're going to go on a little bit today and take it a step further. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, to be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now that word in the King James, that's the King James Bible, is that old Elizabethan language that the King James put a group of people together to translate the original scriptures. You know, they use the these, the thous, and therefores. And the original New Testament was written in Greek, and a lot of the Greek words have different meanings to them. And if you look up that Greek word follower, that means the word imitator. Or you could say it this way, duplicate what God does. Or you could say this, be a copycat of God. And the Bible there's telling you to be a follower or an imitator of God as dear children. Now, that means a lot more to me now that I have a child, two children. I can't believe how much they imitate every single thing I do. That's why it's important for parents to do the right thing, right? Because kids are watching. Kids are watching. And it's amazing to me how much Caleb does and says. Here's a great example. The other day, I don't mean to be gross here, but just you never know what's going to come out of my mouth. But the other day, I was getting ready to take a nap before, well, it was last week, right, before Saturday service. And I'm laying down with our little black lab puppy, Willow. And she's about 16, 17, what, I don't know, 4 or 5 months old, somewhere around there. I'm just cuddling with her, and all of a sudden, her body starts moving. I'm here, ooh, ooh. And I know what that means. She's about to blow. And I grabbed her and went running. Now, it's pitch black in my office. I had the curtains drawn. It was cloudy. Didn't have time to turn a light on, and I smashed my knee into something, trying to get her down the stairs. I didn't even turn a light on, and I'm just like, I got to get her outside, or I got to get her to the tile floor. Got to get her to the tile floor or outside, not on my carpet in my office. And I'm holding her, and she's doing the whole body wiggle shake with the whole gulp, 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 and all of a sudden, in the dark, I hear things starting to hit the carpet floor. Hear things starting to hit the wall. Start to feel things coming back off the ricochet. I'm like, I didn't make it. And I bust through the door, and like a little bit gets on the tile floor, and she's sitting at the table looking at me like, what in the heck is going on? And I look back, and it was just an absolute nightmare. And so I'm kind of frustrated, you know? I mean, here I am. I want to take a nap before I have to go to Olean and preach and do all that and drive all the way out there. And now my nap is shot. I got to scrub the carpet. I can't even have her do it because where I'm going to sleep, it just, all it smells is like barfed up dog food right now. And I need to scrub and get that cleaned off. And so I'm kind of mad. And I'm just, you know, I'm saying things. I'm just letting you into my home right now. I'm saying things like, wish we'd have never got her. Why'd we get a dog? What's our problem? You know, being a big old fat grump is what I was being. And Caleb comes in with his little toy Dalmatian dog. And he's standing on the other side of the gate. And I must have kicked the floor because he's kicking the floor. And he says, my dog just threw up all over the place. Why did I get this dog? And he's doing everything that I just did. And he does it with everything. Imitates his daddy, right? We'll preach at home sometimes and he'll take off preaching, just having fun or singing and different things. And the Bible says that children will imitate their parents. Well, the Bible's telling you that you ought to be an imitator of your Father God. You ought to duplicate the way he does things. See, the problem is people don't do things the way God does things. They do things the way they do things. And the Bible says that your thoughts aren't his thoughts. Your ways aren't his ways. That his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so if we'll start imitating God. You know, I learned, I'm very open about who I used to be before Jesus. I think it helps people to let you know I was just an utter failure in life. I mean, couldn't hold a job. Was very unsuccessful in defeating addictions, different things. A lot of bondage in my life with different addictions and different, my whole lifestyle, just defeat and depression. And I had a horrible gambling addiction, a horrible depression. I mean, from the time I hit ninth grade in high school, I'm not exaggerating, there wasn't a day that went by that the thought of wanting to take my life was just so strong in me. And so I was really kind of a failure growing up. And I'm not saying if you have depression, you're a failure. That's not what I mean. I'm saying what I walked out in my life with not keeping a job, the way I treated people, just everything was, just didn't do anything very successful. Well, then I got saved, and I came into the church. And, there's people that are successful outside of the church. There are. But a lot of times I see that people that are successful outside of the church, they're up and down on a roller coaster. When things are going good, that they're happy and joyful. When things are, one thing can go, I mean, we have people in our family that are successful. One thing goes wrong, it's like the end of the world. But then I came into the church and I saw what people of faith do. Number one, the people of faith, their lives looked different. They were successful. And when things came against them, they weren't the roller coaster. They were always victory. And so I started to get a common sense that, you know what? I'm going to start doing what they do in their lives. Because if I can start doing, because if you want what somebody else and the success that they have, you got to do what they do. I love when Warren Buffett, of course, billionaire, he'll put out different things sometimes on Yahoo News of different tips for people to obtain wealth. Well, he knows what he's doing, right? He knows what he's doing business sense. I'm not going to try to think that, oh, Warren, that's not the way to do it. No, I'm going to do it his way. See, if you'll start imitating God, start being a duplicator, start being a copycat of God, you'll start seeing success in your life. And I want you to go to Mark chapter 11 today and showing you the trial, because when you get in that trial and you know you're victorious, okay, that's great. We'll give us something that we can do in that trial. I'm going to give you something that will really help you today. That's been a great blessing to my life, my family's life, the church life. Hallelujah. Mark 11. Mark 11 and verse 12. Praise the Lord. Be an imitator of God. That means the Bible gives you the legal authorization to do what he does. In fact, it doesn't just give you the legal authorization to do it. It tells you to do it. It tells you to imitate him. Do what I do. Mark 11, verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow," or tomorrow, "when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry," talking about Jesus, "and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered," now notice this, "Jesus answered and said unto it," what was he talking to? A tree. "No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever," and his disciples heard it. So he didn't say it in his mind. He didn't just think it. He didn't just kind of wish it up and let it float around there. No, he said it. He didn't say it quietly. He said, "No man eat fruit from you hereafter ever again." What did he do? He put a curse on the fig tree. And we see that in the coming verses, that Jesus cursed the fig tree. Well, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18 are things that happened after he cursed the fig tree. And we're going to go down now to verse 19. And it says, "When evening was come," so that must have been in the morning that they saw the fig tree, and now it's the evening. "When evening was come, they went out of the city. And in the morning," so a whole day went by, "as they passed by," so now they're going back the way they came, "they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance," Peter remembers what happened the day before, "said, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed," remember Jesus, we said he put a curse on it, "the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Wow. So what happens here is Jesus sees, now see, Jesus wasn't doing this to just display his almighty power, and I'm going to show you that in a second. Jesus wasn't doing it to brag. God has nothing about bragging in him. He doesn't need to, when you're already the best that's ever was, you don't need to brag about that. When you created the world with your words, There's not much you have to bang your own drum on and toot your own horn. You already are it, right? He wasn't doing this to say, boys, look at what I can do. Boys, I'm amazing. Boy, I'm special. And I'm going to show you that. Because what's the purpose? Why would Jesus curse that fig tree and have it wither away? What did he? Was he just upset at the fig tree? Was he in a bad mood? Was he really mad he couldn't find food there on that fig tree? No, he did it for an example. But what happens is he curses the fig tree. They go out of the city. They come back. And it's not till the, now notice this, it's not till the next morning that Peter says, whoa, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away, which tells us that when he did it immediately, nothing changed. Because Peter would have said, Master, the fig tree that you just said or just cursed, it just dried up from the roots. Obviously, when Jesus said, no man eat fruit from you hereafter ever again, and the disciples heard it, nothing changed evidently with the tree. It wasn't until the next morning that they came back and Peter walked by that fig tree and said, whoa, something's different about that tree. I remember that tree yesterday, and I also remember Jesus saying something to it. Now, what is that? How does that pertain to us? Well, I'm going to show you. Verse 21, it says, Peter calling to remember, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. I don't know if your Bible has it. Mine does. In the middle section here, it might have a little two letters that say GR, which means Greek. That translated in the Greek is actually not have faith in God, that although that is true, have faith in God, it says have the faith of God or have the God kind of faith. They say, well, Pastor, how do we know? Well, he goes on in verse 23 and verse 24 and proves that out. Now, notice he says this, have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. Remember, Peter's saying, the fig tree which you cursed withered away. Jesus said, have the God kind of faith, Peter. And he goes on in verse 23. I love this. For verily I say unto you. Now he's addressing the disciples, isn't he? He's saying, for verily I say unto you. And you say, well, man, I missed out. I wasn't one of the disciples. I don't count in this. But you do, because then it goes on to say, verily I say unto you. And then he addresses a whole other group of people, doesn't he? That whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Then you are qualified and a candidate for this verse. He says, verily I say unto you, Peter, that whosoever, not just me, not just you disciples, but whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So now he's showing you that this whole fig tree example wasn't so Jesus could put on a show, wasn't so he could display his Son of God power. It was an example showing people that you can change the natural realm with the words of your mouth. And he not only says you can change the natural realm with the words of your mouth, he tells you how to do it. Go back to verse 14. Now, be an imitator of God, right? If you want God results, you got to do what God does. Now, the thing about it is, Jesus didn't care what people thought. How do we know? He was talking to a tree. Hello? If you all talk to a tree, we're going to admit you somewhere, right? Or you walk around and see people talking to themselves, you think, woohoo, right? Let's just be honest. Let's be honest. And Jesus is talking to a tree. A piece of wood, bark, talking to it. But notice what the Bible says. Jesus answered. Now, for me to put in a context to say, Pastor Mike answered me, would mean that you would have to say something first, right? It doesn't say Jesus spoke up. It says Jesus answered. When somebody answers you, right? When you call somebody on the phone, they pick up the phone, they're answering your phone call. I'm not picking up the phone for the heck of it. I'm picking up the phone because it's ringing and somebody is calling me, so I'm answering them. So evidently, the fig tree had a voice. Now, it doesn't say that the disciples heard. Say, before y'all lose me and say, Pastor, we think we need to admit you. You just said the fig tree has a voice. Well, I don't mean that it had a natural audible voice, because the disciples didn't hear the fig tree talk, and nobody's saying the fig tree had a voice in the mouth. You ever seen those little things they put on trees, the eyes and the mouth? And they look like they should just open their mouth and talk. But that's not what we're talking about. Evidently, the fig tree had a voice. Well, you say, what do you mean? Let me ask you a question. Has your car ever talked to you? Has your checkbook ever talked to you? Has a relationship or a situation ever had a voice to it? Has your body ever talked to you? Has a doctor's report ever had a voice to it? I'm just asking. Has it? I'll tell you what. Empty seats can talk to a preacher. Oh, they can be so loud. When you drive in the beginning, all the way, 2.5 hours round trip to Olean to start a church, and 3 or 4 people come out to a midweek service, and there's about 30 empty chairs, I'll tell you what, they have a voice. They can talk to you. And so everything has a voice. Ladies, your wardrobe, your closet, your cupboards, what's in your refrigerator, your insurance bill, your heating bill, the thing that breaks down, it all has a voice. And it's always, usually, talking to you negatively, isn't it? And you know what the fig tree was saying to Jesus? Nana, nana, boo, boo. You're not going to get any food this morning. You're going to be hungry. And Jesus answered that. The fig tree was talking to him. What are you going to do about it, Jesus? What are you going to do? Here, you're hungry, Mr. Provider Man. Now you're coming up to the tree. Jesus said, I'm going to fix your wagon for once and for all, is what he said to that tree, didn't he? He said, you made a mistake talking to the wrong person. But see, we talk about responding right. And we said last week, your response will change knowing that you're already going into the thing being victorious. But notice Jesus answered it. So we need to start answering things, don't we? We need to start answering things. Be thee therefore an imitator of God. The Bible says Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was God displayed for us. Jesus was the physical representation of who God is. If you ever want to know who God was, just look at the life of Jesus. And you'll see he's not a destroyer. You'll see he's not a killer. You'll see he's not a judgmental person. You'll see that he's not angry at mankind. No, he came to seek and save that which was lost, to help people, to love people, to be kind to people. And so we see here what God would do. When a situation comes up that's contrary or pushing against your life and has a voice, your job is to answer that thing out loud and speak to it. Because Jesus went on to say, you'll have whatever you what? Say. So he's saying, speak to the fig tree. Speak to the fig tree. I remember, I think I brought this up last week, but a minister was traveling, paying his own way, going to different churches. And he had an old beat-down vehicle, and he'd drive, he'd go from one place and drive all through the night to get to the next service in the morning at a different church, at a different location. I'm going down an old dirt road, and the way he puts it, he said he had 4 baldy tires on, he said he'd get going down that road, and the one front passenger tire would start singing a tune. He'd be riding on that road and singing the tune. The song would be, here you have no, you're preaching prosperity and you have no money. You're driving an old beat down car and it's just talking to it. And he said, then the second one, then it became a duet. And the other tire starts humming in and starts singing. What you gonna do? How are you gonna pay your bills? You got a family at home. You ever had these things talk to you? Or am I the only crazy one in this place? Has anything ever told you you're not gonna make it? Has anything ever told you you're not going to have enough? Has a doctor's report ever said, whoa, it's bad? Has it ever happened? I mean, are you with me this morning? I'm not up here having a solo show, I hope. Praise God. And they're singing to him, and he said, before you know it, 3 out of the 4 tires join in. And they're starting to sing a tune to him about how bad it is. And then the fourth gets in and says, it's just a full chorus. Driving down that road in the middle of the night, dark, no radio playing, nothing going on. And they're singing to him, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're going under. This is going to happen to your family. Ever been there? And you have any voices in your life right now? What's your checkbook saying to you? What's your bills saying to you? What's your job saying to you? What's your body saying to you? What are your kids saying to you when they're off serving, maybe not serving God? What's your situation? What's your circumstances? What are they saying to you? I bet you they're pushing on you. I bet you they're pushing back on you. They're telling you you're never going to make it. They're telling you you're not good enough. They're telling you you've wasted too much of your life. They're telling you it's over for you, that it's too late. Right? I'm just telling you what's been told to me. Things have a voice. I'll tell you, things have a voice. Well, Jesus showed us. What do? We answer those things. Now, I want to show you something. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Praise God. The body of Christ is way too quiet. I don't mean just in the service today and not respond. I'll just amen myself. Thank you very much. And I don't mean that. I mean like in life. You know what most people do when trials start pushing against them? They get quiet. They get self-centered. I don't mean in a selfish way, but they turn inward. And I don't mean inward to the right inward with your heart. I mean they get enclosed in themselves. They get quiet. And that's not the time to be quiet. That's the time to start answering.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we shouldn't talk back to our parents and things like that and our bosses, but we ought to talk back to our circumstances.
Yeah.
It's okay to be a little mouthy with those things. And in Romans 4, I want to show you this and relate it to Mark 11, where it says, be an imitator of God. It says in Romans 4 and verse 17, it says, as it is written, as it is written. Now he's talking about in the Old Testament. Now, to give you context, the two people that are being talked about here are God and Abraham. It says, as it is written, I, being God, have made thee, Abraham, or made you, Abraham, a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, now notice this, even God, now it's going to tell you what God does. Now remember, be an imitator of God. Even God, who quickens the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they are. Now, What does that mean? Break that down to me. Well, when he's using Abraham in context, Abraham was promised a son. Abraham didn't have a son until he was 100 years old. His wife was 90, but God promised him that son years before. But when God promised him the son, his name was Abram. God changed his name to Abraham, which in the Hebrew means father of many nations. Now here the Bible says that God calls those things which be not as though they were. What God did with Abram, changing his name to Abraham, is he changed his name to mean father of many nations. But he didn't say to Abraham, if you go back and look at the verses, he didn't say, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He said, I'm changing your name to Abraham, for I have made you right now a father of many nations. He told that to an elderly man with no son. He started calling him dad when he wasn't a dad. What was God doing? Calling those things which be not as though they are. What did Jesus do in the fig tree? He called a fig tree cursed and withered up and dried away when it wasn't. We know it wasn't because the disciples walked away and didn't comment on it till the next day. Jesus said, cursed are you. Well, in the natural, when a curse takes place on a fig tree, it manifests like it did the next day in a dried up fashion. It didn't do it. Notice Jesus, when he said, cursed fig tree, he didn't stand there and stomp his feet like Pastor Mike did when the dog barfed. He didn't stand there and say, change. Why isn't it working? What's going on? I'm Jesus. I spoke to the tree. You know what Jesus did? He said, cursed are you. He didn't stand there and say, I wonder if it's going to happen. I wonder if this is really going to work. He said it, and he walked away like that.
Yeah,
let's go on to the next thing, boys. And notice he didn't even bring it up the next morning. They did.
Right.
He wasn't impressed with the fact that his words changed things. He knew that it was a spiritual law.
Yeah.
Not only was he not impressed, but he expected that what he said was actually going to work. Isn't that amazing?
Good.
We say things, and we, in the name of Jesus, I call my body healed. And then we check it. We check it. And oh, we still feel those things. It must not have worked. Must not have worked. When God called Abraham a father of many nations, Abraham was a withered away old man. The Bible says that Sarah's womb was as good as dead. That Abraham considered not his own body, which was about dead, being 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. God said, you are parents. And there was no child. That's how God does things. What do you think that the circumstances, what do you think that was yelling out? That, what do you think that body was saying? I'll never have a child. It's not going to work. Sarah's womb's dead. It's not even naturally possible. It would be a miracle for that to happen. But God said, no, no, no. Right now, your name is Abraham. Right now, you're a father of many nations. Right now, I'm calling the fig tree curse when it's not. And so many times, if you're going to be an imitator of God, go back to Mark 11, verse 23. Calling those things. Is a fig tree a thing? It sure is. What are the things in your life? Is it your children? Is it your checkbook? Is it your marriage? Is it your finances? Is it your body? Is it your job? Is it your business? What are those things that need to change? Well, the way you're going to change them is by calling those things which be not as though they were. God looked at a guy who didn't have a child that was old and said, you're a dad. Something that wasn't, he called it was. Jesus looked at a fig tree that looked alive and well, called it cursed, and it wasn't. Naturally. Mark 11, 23. For verily, I say unto you, Jesus is now saying, the reason I did the whole fig tree thing, guys, was because of this. For verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, excuse me, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He's saying at the time you speak it, there's going to be a mountain looking you square in the face. It could be a mountain of doubt. It could be a mountain of fear, a mountain of depression, a mountain of anxiety, a mountain of financial problems, a mountain of physical problems. And the Bible says that notice the way the mountain's removed. The mountain doesn't move until the mouth starts moving. Do you see that there? I know this is going to shock people, but God is not mentioned one time in that verse. Prayer is not mentioned one time in that verse. Getting a hold of the whole church to pray for you, it's not mentioned one time in that verse to get your mountains moved. Talking about the mountain is not mentioned in that verse. Laying in bed at night and stressing about it and staying awake all night and thinking about the mountain is not how the mountain moves. The mountain is going to move when you start looking it square in the face and start calling it those things which be not as though they are. When you can take your checkbook. Now, if you had a glimpse inside my home, you'd see victory, but you'd see some weirdness too. You'd see me picking up that checkbook. I talked to those things. I stood in front of a mirror when symptoms came on my body. And I called my body, I said, nobody, you're healed. By the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. I call you complete from head to toe. Yeah. I've had bills stacked up. And I get them out. And I remember one time, this is not a dig on her. It was just, she was just speaking this. She's in faith as well. We got a bill that showed up in the mail that was unexpected. And it had gotten lost in the mail or something. And there was no mercy on this thing. We had to pay it right away. We had just paid all our bills, and we didn't have a paycheck come in for 2 weeks, and everything was already gone, and this thing needed to be paid way before then. And we got that bill. This was years ago. And, I think it was almost seven, eight years ago. And got that bill and opened it. And she just said, you know, what are we going to do? And I said, we're going to get down on our knees and act like the Bible's true. And we got down on our knees, and we said, that bill had a voice. I'll tell you what, that bill had a voice. That bill had a voice. Tell me, where are you going to get the money? Where's it going to come from? How are you going to do it? That's what it was doing to me, right? Gotcha. So we're going to act like the Bible's true. We got our reason. We said, Father, you said we'll have what we say. This is a mountain in my life. You said mountains can be removed by speaking to them. I call you paid off, Bill. I call money to come in. I say we have money, and I call you paid off, Bill. When you're not paid off, I call you paid off. You say, you're nuts. No, I'm biblical. I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. I was taking an unpaid bill that we had no money to pay it, and I was saying it was paid off. The balance was zero on that thing. And it was, I can't remember how many days later it was, and a check for $1,400 randomly came in the mail. That's a fun way to get mail right there. Yeah, happened. Speaking to the mountain. I remember one of the neat things about that testimony, and I won't go through the whole story, about when we started the church in the building over here, in September of 2010, and I quit my job at Walker's Farm and didn't get a salary from this church. And you know, it put us $1,200 to $2,000 a month short. You all know the story. But the one thing that I was saying during that time, because one of the reasons we were so far short is because we had so much debt. And we had to pay so much a month on paying these debts off. So when we were $1,200 to $2,000 short, and I was staying home with Caleb, and the Lord would not permit me to get a job. But, you know, I was already pastoring the church, which was a full-time job in itself. And he said, don't do it. The church will be hurt. So I was restricted from God from going to make money, and I had to believe him for it. And I was holding Caleb, and not only was I saying that I call my bills paid on time all the time, every single time, one thing I was saying is I would speak every single debt I would have. I'd say, Father, and I call that Cabela's card, I call it paid off. Now I had a huge debt balance on it. I call that car payment completely wiped out. I call that student loan payment gone. I call this, and I say, I am debt free. I am debt free. Now, and then that 2 years, we paid off over $60,000 worth of debt on one salary. The majority of the time, one salary. Being $2,000 short most of the time, every month, we paid off $60,000. We didn't just skimp by, we obliterated debt by what we said. Because see, the mountains are removed when you open your mouth and be an imitator of God and start doing things God's way. God doesn't say, so many people are magnifying their problem. Every time you talk about your problem, you're just magnifying and giving strength to that thing. Now, faith isn't the denial of the natural. God didn't say, here, have faith, throw away your brain and be an idiot. What do I mean by that? You break your arm and it's hanging there sideways, the bone's sticking out, and people are saying, how do you feel? I feel wonderful. This is great. I'm just so happy about this. No, but you know what faith does? You know, this really hurts. This doesn't feel good, but I have a God who's going to touch this thing. I'm calling this thing completely whole. It's going to get completely fixed. It's going to be stronger and better than ever. That's what faith would do. Faith doesn't deny that you got a gash in your forehead and blood dripping down your head. Faith doesn't deny that maybe there's not enough money in the account. But faith doesn't give more heed to that over what God's word says. God wasn't denying the fact that Abraham was old. Jesus wasn't denying the fact that the fig tree was there. God's not denying the reality of what circumstances are. He's just telling you, speak what you want to happen. Not what's happening, not magnifying the problem. Isn't that amazing? For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall lay in bed think, whosoever shall tell everybody about their problems, whosoever this, no, that's not going to move your mountain. It might make you feel good. It might make you feel good, and it might pet your ego and pet you a little bit and help you that way, you know, and we need to be compassionate to one another, and we need to be open arms. But listen, I'll tell you what, you come to me, I'll pet you and love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you, listen, start saying to that mountain. Start speaking to that mountain. Start saying to that mountain. Praise God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he says. And Jesus said, the example I give you on this, boys, is when I spoke to a tree and it changed. He says, you can change the natural with your words. So, in closing, what does that mean for our lives? What do we do? What is it in your life that needs to change? What is it in your life that's holding you back? What is it in your life that's hindering you from walking in this victory that Pastor's always talking about? Pastor's always talking about the financial blessings. He's always talking about the physical blessings. He's always talking about the joy and the peace. What's holding you back? Are you always saying, oh, I'll never make it? All the money, the bills are so big and so bad. All this is going on my marriage. This is going on with my family. This is going on with my kids. Are you the parent that's calling your kid the little devil? Well, what do you expect them to be? Right? Oh, my kids never do right. Well, what do you expect them to do? Oh, we never have enough money. Well, why do you expect to ever have any then? Because your words, that's why we gave you that book. I could preach a sermon on words once a month and it wouldn't be enough. Because it is that vital. And you need to get on purpose to call things to you. Start calling things to you. Start calling those things. You know, when I was in the woods, and we'll close with this. When I turkey hunt in the woods, the way you hunt them in the spring is you'll let out a call. And if they can hear that call, if they're receptive, they'll gobble. And they don't just come automatically. In fact, it's actually against nature for a male turkey to come into a female. You got to be pretty good to get them to come into you. It's actually the way it works is they'll gobble in nature. The hen turkeys will go to the male. But I can't go walking through the woods with turkeys. They'll run away. I don't look like a hen turkey. And so what I'll do is I'll sit there and call and try to make myself sound so sweet like one. Or make myself sound like another male that's already there taking them and fighting with another male for the love of his life there to get another one jealous. And what I'll do is sometimes I'll let out a call and it'll be hundreds. On a clear day, I can hear them from so far away. Hundreds of yards away. You know what I don't do when I hear that? I don't say, oh, this is too hard. It's so far away. The only way I know I'm going to get that victory, that celebration with that turkey, is if I keep calling it. And I'll call it again, and I'll hear it be a little closer. See, every time you open your mouth and call those things, which be not as though they are in the spirit realm, you know what you're doing? Calling that blessing in. You're calling that blessing in. It's getting closer. Because the Bible, see, don't jump on the idea of, well, what if it doesn't work? The Bible already tells you it will work. So that takes away that fear right there. He said, you'll have what you say. Notice in that verse, Brother Hagin brought that out. The word say is in there three times. And the word believes in there one. You're going to have to do three times the saying. You are the believing. You are. Three times, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. One time believe, three times say. You're going to have to do three times the believing as you are, or three times the speaking as you are the believing. And that's where people fall short. They get quiet. They'll wake up after a day of believing God, and nothing's there. And boom, the saying goes out the window. Either they stop saying, or they start saying the negative way. I can do that turkey, honey. I could stop calling that thing, and it won't come to me. Or I can just walk away and say it's not worth it, and there's that turkey just waiting to hear another sweet hen cluck to come in. Your situations and your circumstances are waiting on your call. They're waiting on your call. The victory you need is waiting on your call. Calling those things which be not as though they are. What are you calling? Are you calling anything? Are you calling defeat in? Are you calling victory in? Are you calling health in? Your victory, your miracle, your finances, the best life that you've ever had is waiting on your call. Notice it doesn't say, verily I say unto you, that when God will say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in God's heart, but shall believe that those things which God says, it'll come to pass whatever God says. God's not even in that verse. Now, he gave us that verse to use. It's all because of him. But your mountains being removed, guess what? Have zero to do with God. Zero to do with God. And everything to do with your call. Everything to do with your call. Now I know that's not what they taught us in Sunday school. I know that's not what they taught us at religious so-and-so place. But I'll tell you what religious so-and-so is doing for people. It's called defeat. It's called not walking in victory. I grew up in religious so-and-so places. I know religious so-and-so places. And they're showing up and they're getting fluff and they're not getting help. And nothing's changing in their life. And they're saying, just, you know, God wants me to suffer on this earth, and God wants me just to barely get by. That's not what the Word says. The Word says if you want mountains to move, you want change in your life, start opening your mouth. Start calling it in. Start speaking it on purpose. I've been ridiculed for this. But I have on my iPad a confession list because I can't have anything unless I say it. The Bible says it. So I got to on purpose make sure I'm saying things. And I have things for my family. I have things for my personal life, and I have things for the churches. That I'm saying, and you know what Pastor Mike's doing constantly? Hitting the dot and hitting the delete button and crossing things off the list. Why? Because they're coming to pass. Why? Because I'm calling them in. When I call them in, cross another one off the list. Cross another one off the list. Now, there's things I've been saying on here for years haven't come to pass, but they're coming. They're closer. Every time I say it, they're closer. They're closer. Getting closer. I remember we got into South Dayton, the first thing, we couldn't even find a place to rent for a church. I mean, this isn't a metropolis here. I mean, I love it here, but it's not, you know, buildings all over, that storefronts and places to lease. And you know what your pastor did? The first thing I did was after we got that building, you know what I was saying? Thank you, Lord, for our building to grow in, our own building. And I was saying, I thank you, we have a building. Thank you, we have a building to grow in. I wasn't just satisfied with that. You know what I did the first day we got into this church, if you'll remember? I said, and get ready for the next one. Get ready for the next one. Already believing for the next one. The next bigger building with more services for people and things to do and fun. And so why? Calling those things which be not as though they were. Calling them in. Calling them in. Been calling a building in an Olean. It's coming. Calling in a permanent building in Olean. It's coming. What do you need, a vehicle? Start calling it in. Start calling it in. You need money to pay your bills? Start calling it in. You need a bigger house to meet the needs of your family? More money to provide for your children? Start calling it in. Stop talking about your poverty and start talking about your prosperity. Start talking about your victory. Put victory in your mouth. Amen? I feel like sometimes people just refuse. I don't know if it's just that they don't get it, but people refuse. And I'm gonna give you the old example again. Does the Bible say you'll have what you say? Does it, yes or no? It does. Does the Bible say to call those things which be not as though they are? It does. It authorizes you to do that. Now, does that make sense to your brain? It doesn't mean. Well, I'm going to use this example like I always do. Actually, I'll go back here and do it this time. I am not an electrician, and I'm not very smart with things in life. But when I do this, let's see. Is this in here? Okay. When I walk into a room and it's pitch black, and I know there's a switch on the side and the lights are off, you know what I don't do? I don't walk in and go, I don't know how that works. I don't get why when I do this, that happens. So because I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. You know what I do? It works, so boom. Lights are on.
Yep.
I don't understand why when I say it comes to pass. And unfortunately, this works the wrong ways. You talk doubt, defeat, and poverty, and sickness. That's what you'll have. That's where your faith is. I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. It's just what God says. So I'm going to go in and turn the light switch on, and I'm going to benefit from it. Start putting things in your mouth, please, for your own sake. Please start putting victory in your mouth. Start calling those things. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your mercy, your goodness. Lord, you just want to get victory in our lives. Oh, we bless you today, Father. We thank you for this help. Lord, it doesn't make sense to our natural mind, but Lord, it works. I've seen it work time and time again in our own lives, and I've seen it in countless other people's lives. And Lord, the victory doesn't always come overnight, but we shouldn't change what our call is. Our call is, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Lord, thank you for the force of faith. It's what changes the natural realm. It helps us. We give you the praise and glory for it. If I could ask a favor of everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes, please, nobody looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question, not out loud, but in your head. Ask yourself this question, if today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If your answer isn't a 100%, I know I'd go to heaven, I want you to leave here today knowing that it can be. Not because I think it can be, but because of what the Bible says. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. It doesn't say if you have perfect church attendance. It doesn't say if you've given money to a church. It doesn't say if you've been a perfect person. It says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So many people have come from places that have told them that you have to jump through a million religious hoops to get to God. You don't have to. All you have to do is if you believe that Jesus Christ was on the earth, that he died and rose again from the dead, the Bible says you are qualified and a candidate for salvation. We're not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to have anybody come to the front. I'm not going to have anybody stand up or say anything on their own. But if you can honestly say to yourself, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I've received Jesus. I'm telling you, you don't have to pay anything for it. You don't have to become a member of this church. All you have to do is accept Jesus. When it comes to eternity, he's made it so simple. He loves you so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We're not trying to embarrass anybody or make anybody stand out. This is between you and God. But if you could say, you know what, I want to receive Jesus. I didn't know it was that simple. It is. He loves you. He cares about you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If anybody wants to receive Jesus for the first time, ask him into their heart. Become a child of God and start experiencing this wonderful life of faith where you're not subject to the natural realm, where you can change things for your benefit through the power of God's word. If you want to experience that with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus? Anybody here at all want to receive Jesus for the first time? Anybody at all? I don't like to rush this. Sometimes people are shy and don't respond right away. Anybody want to receive Jesus in this service? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands this morning, but that doesn't mean there's not anybody that should have received him or wanted to receive you. There's people that are listening by live stream right now, and there's people that will listen by live stream in the future that might need to receive you. So if you're here and you should have raised your hand and you just didn't because maybe you're shy, Or if you're listening, and obviously I can't see your hand, and you want to receive Jesus, all you have to do is simply say, Lord, I believe in you. I ask you to come into my life in Jesus' name. That's all you have to do. You can do that in the privacy of your own home and cry out to him. If you do that, please let us know, and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church. And all the good things that await you. Just God wants to bless you so much. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. Don't forget the sign-up sheet for the picnic. And please, if you have kids in nursery, go right there before you fellowship. And before you even use the restroom or anything, you're dismissed.